We are joined by the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Just completed his eighth full season with the Lightning. Longest tenured head coach in the NHL. Second best winning percentage among coaches with a minimum of 410 games. Led Tampa Bay to back-to-back Stanley Cups. Tampa Bay is the second team to win back-to-back cups in the salary cap era. We are joined by John Cooper. John, it's so good to have you back. Congratulations. And how are you?
I'm awesome. It's got to be the jungle karma, man. Every time I come on your show, we win a cup, so we got to keep this going.
Yeah, John, I would love to take credit for that. Believe me, I would love to take credit for that, but I'm guessing it's got a little more to do with you, the organization, the fact you can roll those four lines and everything else, but thank you very much. You've had some time to think about this since that 1-0 win in Game 5 that wrapped up the second straight Stanley Cup. Like, John, when you think back on the accomplishment of winning two straight, what are the moments or memories that stick out to you the most right now?
I think the big thing was, you know, winning the bubble, you win your first cup, and it's just an exhilarating relief, all these emotions you have. But we were robbed of doing it in front of fans. And it's, you know, it's kind of rare, you know, you get that second chance to do it again, and the boys came through and did it. And there's a couple vivid memories I have. Game 7 against the Islanders, Yanni Gord scores that shorthanded goal. It was the loudest I'd ever heard in the arena when that goal was scored. And then the last, like, 30 seconds were just, it was like an earthquake was going on. And then probably the last minute of Game 5 when we beat Montreal, it was like bedlam again. But we missed that. And it was phenomenal to win the cup the first time, but to be able to do it in front of our fans, it was, you know, in a weird way, maybe it was meant to be that way, and they got to experience it.
Right. I'm sorry, I was going
to
say I would agree with you, John. It was so great to see the opportunity to win that in front of 18,000 fans and what that building must have felt like on the inside. Like, you knew that going into the season, winning a Stanley Cup is hard, really, really hard. How much more difficult is it to win a second straight cup?
Well, and that's the thing, right? When you win, you understand how hard it really is when you don't win. But then when you do win, you understand how many things have to go right for you to win. And whether it's another team gets injured or the puck bounces, just there's so many things. So when you're doing it again, you're like, oh, I know we've got the group that can do it, but you just never know. And you know, it's well documented now. Like, we had, you know, McDonough had a broken hand, Goudreau a broken hand, Cooch had a broken rib. Like, all these guys, they just gutted through this and to help us, will us to another win. And so you really, really appreciate A, how hard it is, and B, the fact that they did it again. Like, I'm just in awe of the players, and it was just so much fun to be a part of.
Honestly, I am too. I am in awe of the players that they did that again, especially given the injuries, John, that you just mentioned. I mean, I could actually follow up and ask you about any of those guys, but let me ask you about Kucherov. He did miss the regular season after hip surgery. He played the last six games with that fractured rib that you mentioned, yet he did join Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux as the only players with back-to-back playoffs of 30 points or more. What is it about him that makes him so special?
Well, that's the word. It's so hard to describe, like, what he sees. And it's just weird. He sees plays happen before everybody else, and more importantly, before the guy he's going against sees it. And I'm not saying he's the only guy that can do that, but, like, if I was going to throw in, you know, into a hat, like, the top four players in the league, you know, Cooch's name's got to go in that hat. And you can't sit here and say exactly who is the best, but he has attributes. It's just his skill set with his vision and the way he thinks things. It's elite. And he's really learned now. Like, his work ethic is awesome. Like, he just, all those intangibles that you really need to push your talent to the top, he's learned. And it's just, like, it's crazy. It's crazy he missed the whole season, especially on hip, which are so important to have when you skate, and he came in and did what he did is pretty remarkable.
We're talking to John Cooper. You know, John, I know, because you and I have had these conversations, and I know you study things like this, but I want to ask about something that Pat Riley has talked about and written about in the past, and that's what happens after a team has success. And players who've been sublimating themselves for the betterment of the team suddenly want to collect on that fame as individuals. That does not seem to have happened with your group. Is it something you have consciously worked to avoid? And if so, how have you gone about doing that?
Yeah, like, well, it's probably a couple years of not getting to where you want to be, a little failure in there, and then learning from it and everybody understanding, okay, this is the recipe for success, and that recipe was a collective effort. It wasn't just individual. And like I tell the players all the time, when the team has success, individuals will prosper in so many different ways, but it doesn't happen unless we do it together. And we had a really, I know it sounds cliche, but everybody from the trainers and equipment guys to the captain have to all buy into the same thing. And when you pull in, I really believe, like, you need skill on your team. There's no question. But if you got character and skill, like, character will trump it. And you need those guys to believe in each other. And they really did. And I think when it's well documented, and we got swept by Columbus a couple years ago when we had 62 wins and all that stuff, it was a awful experience. But I truly believe we're probably not sitting here having this conversation without that experience. And the guys have accepted it. They bought into that. And now they know what the team means. And it's this is what happens. And I can't guarantee it for everybody, but for this group, they really bought in, and now we've got two cups to show for it.
You do. John Cooper is joining us. You know, John, I've made the point, not everybody understands this. Certainly not everybody agrees with it. Maybe I'm not even right, but I've always said that winning the Stanley Cup, in my opinion, is the toughest thing to do in all of sports. I'm not sure, and this is not to slight any other athlete in any other sport that's won any other trophy. I just don't know collectively that it means more to a group of athletes than it does NHLers to get their name on that cup. Now, I might be wrong, and maybe you can help me explain this, but for instance, Pat Maroon, who has now won three straight, said, quote, "I was basically crying on the bench with 140 left. We just won back-to-back, bleeping amazing," end of quote. So what I'm getting at is this, John, how do you explain what the cup represents and the fact that it's still that special no matter how many times you get your name on it?
Yeah, it's almost inbred to you when you're a young kid and you watch, you read the books. And I always remember Gretzky's book, and he talks about how the Islanders swept them in 83, I think it was. And then they're all walking out and, you know, in their suits and stuff like that. And they walk by the Islanders locker room and they've won the cup, but they're all got ice packs on their bags and they're on their bodies. And I always thought that. And I think it's almost ingrained in players' heads and the grueling war you go through for 2 months. Like, it's a 2 month process of 82 games getting to the playoffs, but then it's 2 months of just a war. And so when you get to the pinnacle, I think every kid's dreamed about it for their entire life. And then to me, it is the most wonderful, iconic trophy in sports. And it's like, you've probably heard me say this before. Nobody really wants to see John Cooper, but when John Cooper walks in somewhere with the Stanley Cup, I mean, it's like walking in with Mick Jagger. Like, it's crazy. And that's the attention it draws. And so you get to that point of having the ability to win it and the names that are etched on it. There's nothing better. And it's something that, you know, they can never take away from you. And so it's such a powerful trophy and the way you have to win it. And I think that's why, you know, players are brought to tears when they do win.
John Cooper, my guest. That Gretzky story that you reset really is something. I've heard him tell that story a number of times. I remember when I first met him, he came on the show and told that story. His point being that we didn't know the price that you had to pay. We saw the Islanders in the locker room. We saw that they literally had nothing left, every last guy in that room, and the sort of sacrifices they had to make. We knew at that point that that's what it took. John, when you say that really nobody wants to see John Cooper, but then I walk in with that trophy and it's like Mick Jagger's here, I would argue that people do want to see you and people react to you. Stamkos said this of you, quote, "He's confident, and that's something that has always spilled over to the teams he's coached. Probably why a lot of them have gone on to become champions, including ourselves." You know, John, I say this not because you and I are having a conversation, but I can hear it. I can hear it in the energy when you and I speak. This confidence that you're able to kind of transfer to others, it is contagious. How do you go about transferring that to others?
It's hard to say because, like, I try, like, you have to have, and I don't know if I'm going to even say this the proper way, but there's a fine line, right? Like, you have to be confident. You have to believe in what you're doing, and you have to stand up for your convictions. But, you know, you hope you've got a great balance and morals and things your parents have taught you and how, you know, you treat other people. But in the end, it's all about the team, and you can't put yourself above any of that. but you have to have confidence in what you're doing. And I think, I don't know, you try and bring energy. You try and make people a part of this. You have to make everything bigger than yourself. And you have to, the big thing is you have to make people relevant. And that's something what I've tried to do. Yes, I'm a part of it, but in the end, I'm just a small part of it. And yes, I am the head coach and all that stuff, but relevance is a big thing. And you just, you can't have people in your group that can't feel a part of it. And so I always try and mandate that with myself and with everybody that we're with. And, you know, so far so good. I don't know if that made sense to anybody, but it's, you have to bring energy, even on the days when you don't have it. And that's what we've tried to do and surround ourselves with good people. And this is what's happened.
I think that makes all sense in the world. What I'm hearing from you is, yeah, of course you have to be confident, but the better word might be conviction. You have to have conviction. And that last point you just made, I love too, that you, on certain days when you don't have it, you have to bring energy. In other words, you have to be at your best on your worst days. One more thing, John, if you don't mind, one of your phrases has been, quote, process over outcome, work over hope. I love it. It may seem self-evident, but can you explain what you mean by that? Process over outcome and work over hope.
Well, the big thing is, so I'll give you an example. Game 5 last year against Dallas in the finals, we have a chance to close them out. We end up losing in overtime. Kudos on Dallas. They beat us. I felt we didn't play our best game, and I felt we weren't as focused. And part of that came down to, I think when you get that close to win the Stanley Cup, you're thinking of the outcome over the process that got you there. And so it was one of those situations of turn the cell phones off. Your friends will be there. Trust me, the text messages you're going to receive after you win are going to crush the text messages you're going to receive before you win. Get out of the limelight, focus on the game and our process that got us here. So it's, I'm just trying to put in a little example over that. And then the other one was, you know, hope is a wonderful attribute and everybody should have it, but it shouldn't be a strategy. And you have to work to get there. And so, you just don't want to hope you're going to win. You got to work yourself to win. And so you just kind of, we tied that into the group and our thought process. And, you know, like saying the process, there's a process to it. And it's all the practices. It's our meetings. It's everything, our habits that have got us to this one point. And then the outcome will follow. But you can't think about the outcome. The rest of time will think of the outcome. But you have to trust it, and that's what we've done, and it's served us well.
I love hope is an attribute but not a strategy. He is the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning and the longest tenured head coach in the NHL, and they just went back-to-back. John, I'm not going to ask you about three. I'm going to let you enjoy number two, but really good to have you on the show. I do appreciate the relationship very much, and always good to talk to you, John. Congrats.
Thanks, my man. I love coming on, and hopefully talk soon.
You know it. Absolutely. John Cooper joining us. One of my favorites to talk to.
Hey, John.
Hey, John. You're a damn good coach. Damn good leader. Infectious leader. And one of the guys I love to not only talk to, but listen to. Okay. That's one.